Welcome to the Golf Better Podcast. I'm your host, Derek Dominski. The Golf Better Podcast is brought to you by GolfBetterTucson.com. Be sure to check out our website to improve your game and follow along with us on Instagram and all other social media. Have you ever felt like you've totally lost your golf game? Felt like you've had the ball striking yips? This was Brendan Todd in 2018. Fast forward a couple years to now, and he's a multiple winner on the PGA Tour and fourth in the current FedEx Cup rankings. How did Brendan Todd go from the pit to the penthouse? Enter Bradley Hughes. I've wanted to get Brad on the podcast for a while now, as he's one of my favorite coaches in the game. Today we talk about his playing career, how he developed his teaching style, and some of the drills Brendan did to regain his swing, and how you can do the same. All right, Brad, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Derek. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. So for those that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your playing career?
It was a while ago now. I started playing golf when I was about 12, seriously when I was 12, and I got pretty good pretty quickly. And by the time I was 14, I'd shot like 9 under. And my 15th birthday, I qualified for a big tournament home with playing against Greg Norman and Lee Trevino and guys like that. So that was pretty cool. Once I did that, I thought golf's going to be a good career something to look forward to if I pursued that. So stuck at it and did well in the amateur ranks, got to play for Australia a few times and turned pro when I was 21. I got out quickly there. I came 7th, 12th, and then I won my third event on the Australian Tour, so I got a good start to things. And as it all progressed, I ended up heading off to Europe first, where a lot of the Aussie guys sort of went initially. Played okay over there, not as great as I could have. I think I struggled being too far away from home and ended up heading to Japan after that. And that was close to home. I could commute back and forth. I'd go up there for 2 or 3 weeks, come back home. And then ultimately ended up in America and got to play the PGA Tour for about 9 seasons, not with full status somewhere, a couple of years of invites, but I think 7 years of full status and a couple of years on the Corn Ferry. So won a few tournaments, came close in a bunch of others, had a pretty good playing career and was recognized as a good ball striker. So that was fun. That was sort of the goal mm-hmm. when I was young, watching Greg Norman trying to hit it like him. Here we are, stopped playing sort of 2008 and got into coaching, and here we are 10, 12 years later and everything's going well in the coaching side of things.
Yeah, for sure. So you're one of my favorite coaches. And again, we'll get more into that. But then go ahead and tell us kind of how you got into teaching, kind of transitioning from playing.
Well, when I, 2008, halfway through the year, I'd struggled a little bit on what's now the Corn Ferry that season. I played okay in it in the past, but it was getting to be a little bit of a drag. There's not as much prize money, a lot of time away from home. And I wasn't enjoying the playing aspect of it as much. So I just thought, I'm looking forward to staying at home. I'd basically been on the road for 25 years at that point and thought, what am I going to do? Well, I thought I knew a little bit about playing golf. So I thought I'd try teach it. And I did it a little bit different that when I first went and taught, I based my teaching on things that I'd been told along the way, which is interesting because I didn't really have lessons until I was 26. I'd already won the Masters in Australia and Rookie of the Year and played in Japan and, started playing in America and stuff. So I based a lot of my teaching initially on what I got told because mm-hmm. when you play, you don't necessarily 100% know what you're doing. Well, you do know what you're doing, but you don't know how to explain it. So I just went along the textbook style of teaching. And then after a few months, I realized that it wasn't the right way to approach it. If I was going to be serious, I should delve in deeper and try and find out about how my swing functioned, how a lot of the other great players' swings functioned, and just went to work. And came up with my own plan, which I know you've seen parts of.
Yeah, so you've definitely got kind of a unique teaching style, just in a sense that I know you talk about kind of how you were maybe given some ideas and coached in a way, and you know, was it really true to maybe kind of your DNA or what you, you know, what was really important to you actually hitting the ball well. How did you then go about developing your style? I know you looked into some great players. Can you go ahead and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, initially when I first started thinking I'm going to change my logic here, and the reason I changed because, you know, there's golf instruction that's pretty standard. You know, there's your fundamentals and things like that, but I didn't feel that it helped my game much, so I thought there was more to it. That, you know, there's not a cookie cutter style. You can't teach everyone the same thing. You don't have to be perfect with your swing. You just got to create the proper dynamics and everything. So I sort of took a little bit of time off and from teaching and looked at some golf swings, initially mine. I don't have a lot of footage of myself when I was younger, but a little bit from TV and stuff like that. And I looked at that, and then initially I looked at the players that were very good, but people would be easily, you know, classify them as not having the best swings. Like, people would generally laugh at a Jim Furyk and a Lee Trevino and a Peter Senior was a great player in Australia, and they didn't have the atypical type swing. So I looked at them first, and I thought, well, you know, why are they so good? Why do people, you know, turn their nose up at their golf swing, but they come up and play so well all the time? You know, even Nicklaus got laughed at initially. Flying elbow, all that. So there's a lot of different options in golf. So I paid attention to them all, and I sort of saw a few commonalities in what they did that I believed were the true fundamentals rather than some of the stuff people teach. And then I transferred that over into your better, you know, revered swings such as Hogan and other people like that, and saw very similar things. So I sort of rewrote my own basics of what I thought were the most important swings and built an idea from there. And then once I had the idea, I thought, now you got to teach it. So this came out with a drill series with a bit of help from one of my other friends who we put our heads together, John Erickson out from San Francisco. I read his stuff on the golf forum and it really resonated with me. And we put our heads together and sort of came up with these ideas of how to train it, and basically came up with some drills that people do to feel the force, pressure, dynamics of a golf swing and not necessarily pay as much attention to what it looks like.
Yeah, so, you know, being that you've played, and again, at a high level, especially compared to, you know, the average golf instructor, how important is it that you can kind of then, you know, when you capture some of these pressures and feels that you felt before, so then, you know, with confidence, you can say to some of these tour players and even other players you're teaching, like, hey, this is, you know, this is why this is happening. It's not because you're trying to maybe get a position, but through the force and through how the body's moving, you know, you need to feel these certain things. So in playing at that level and having maybe felt some of that in the past, how does that help you relate, you know, maybe with confidence to these players in what you're telling them?
Well, I think it helps a lot because obviously when you're out playing golf tournaments, there is pressure. You know, some days you're not playing good, some weeks you are, some weeks you're not. But there's some pressure, whether, all right, I've got to make a birdie in the last three holes to make the cut, or I've got to par the last three to win or something. So there's always some type of pressure involved. And I believe the ability that I had to be able to pull that off when I was out playing certainly helps, because you feel different things. You know, I've tried a million things when I was out playing too, and I got a good gauge on what tends to work, what doesn't work, whether it looks good or not. You know, some things may look great, but they don't hold up under pressure, and other things may not look as good, and they're basically the glue that gets the guy over the line. So I remember in a podcast, I'm sure we'll talk about Brendan Todd later on because I've worked with him, but I remember him saying in a podcast that he had total trust in what I was telling him and belief based on the fact that I was a player and I knew what he was going through. So that was a great thing that he, you know, no matter what I said to him, he believed in what I was talking about because I had done it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's, and that's a huge part. So let's go ahead and talk about Brendan, because I mean, he's one of the best stories in golf, and, you know, I've listened to a lot of him and a lot of you. How did you guys initially start working together? Was it him? I mean, I know, you know, obviously you're not going to reach out maybe to him, but kind of talk about how you guys started working together and then how you guys kind of began the process of getting him to, again, this incredible comeback, really.
Well, yeah, he contacted me. I don't just search for players. It's up to, it's up to them to search me out or ask questions or get in touch. But he had read my ebook that I wrote called The Great Ball Strikers. A friend of his recommended it to him when he had a little bit of time off, and he ordered it and read it, and he liked the content of it and the way I talked about it. That there was a lot of options, there's a lot of force, there's a lot of dynamics, there's a lot of this, a lot of that. And I didn't really talk, you know, besides my 430 entry path that I discussed, there was real no positions in it. I gave people a lot of different options, and even the 430 path doesn't have to be exact. It's just a guideline.
Exactly.
So he liked the idea of that. He wrote me. I didn't know Brendan. I hadn't really even heard of him because I stopped playing in 2008, and he won in 2014 on tour. I didn't know his trials and tribulations and what he'd been through, but I did know the name. I thought I recognized it, that he'd won a tournament, and just looked him up a little bit and read about it and listened with interest what he wrote me. And we set up a time a few weeks later, I believe, to come down and do a, you know, however long it took, a 2 or 3 hour session and just talk things out. And the initial thing with him was, you know, I didn't see the bad play. I don't know. I could only gauge it off what he told me and the ideas and feels and whatever he was working on at the time. And I tried to dissect that and why I thought that big miss to the right or even the pull and hook was happening.
Yeah.
Gave him some ideas about that. And then we went to work. And the interesting thing, you know, we saw immediate results straight away, and, you know, people have probably heard the story, but he had this big right miss, mainly, not every shot, but, you know, he would creep up 3-4 times around, and he'd basically lose a ball or make a double bogey and what have you, and you, no matter how many birdies you make, you're not going to catch that up all the time. And, you know, he was told to keep the club face closed on the way back and on the way down and then try and rotate out of the way. So I just believed he lost his ability to release the club. So he was just sort of holding on and trying to square it up from body rotation rather than from release. And we went to work on that. And first thing I told him was to get that thing as open as he could and learn to fire it with his arms and release it again, even if he hooked the heck out of it to start with. But of course he didn't. He didn't hook it because the releasing of his arms gave his body the all clear to sort of get involved. And the hook didn't happen, and the big block right didn't happen because he was released from the club again. So he went off to practice it. We just sort of did that first session, went and practiced it, and report in, go do the drills in his basement and hit some balls and pay attention to what was happening and report it back to me. And he saw a bit of a breakthrough about 6 weeks later. He went to second stage of qualifying school and got off to a bit of a rugged start, 75 and then a 72 and then a 69 and then 63 the last day. He didn't get through, but you know, he saw some confidence. And then I think it was 1 or 2 days later, he went to the RSM Classic qualifying and shot 61 and made it and sort of got some confidence from there and off he went.
Yes, awesome. So, yeah, your ebook is fantastic, and we'll talk at the end of how people can get a hold of that. And so Brendan really went through all of your drills, essentially. I know you've got this drill series that I think is fantastic as well, where people can really go through them to kind of feel and learn kind of their own movement. So I like how you've structured that. But Brendan essentially went through your drill series. Is that correct?
That's correct. He did them in his basement. And the interesting thing about that is, you know, we saw each other for the first time in, I think it was August 2018. And since that time, obviously, when everyone knows the story, how well he's performed and got his card back and winning, and now like fourth on the FedEx Cup from being nowhere. He, in that whole time frame, we've probably only seen each other less than a dozen times. So he's basically got the work. He trusts me. He does it. I report back to him, and then we'll go watch each other hit balls and go play now and then as well, just to test it all out and see. But we haven't really changed anything. It's been the same from day one. We've just added a couple of things here and there as we've progressed down the path of it all. And he's now, you know, even though I'm his coach, he's now his own coach. And that's what I love to do with the drill series. The people ultimately become their own best coach, because that's how you become a better player.
Yeah, and I think, it's just interesting how, he mentioned he had the driver yips. I mean, he would really say it like, man, you know, I can't, you know, you have those misses that, as you said, you can't recover from. I mean, you can birdie tons of holes, but if you have those out of bounds and really foul balls, it's, you know, at best you're maybe a few under, right around even. So now, again, Brendan came from really the pits with your help, and really I thought he was going to win three in a row that final day. It was just this incredible run. Obviously, you know, Brendan is a player, and, you know, he's doing the work. But, I mean, it's got to feel pretty good as a coach who helps someone from being so low to playing at this level where, you know, I don't know how he didn't get picked maybe for the President's Cup team, but his run of play was just so elite. How did that feel, being able to help someone go from so low to back where they wanted to be?
Well, you know, I've sort of been doing that for years.
Yeah, okay.
not with players of his level, obviously, but, yeah. You know, with your average guy, I've had people drop from 20 handicaps to 2 pretty smartly, you know, within... Well, the drill series probably takes 5 or 6 months, but within 9 months, I've had people drop all those amounts of strokes off, and just from doing the right stuff and basically training their body to do it. And you touched on the RSM Classic where Brendan was going for 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Great story about that. You know, he first, fourth, and I saw him at the RSM the practice days, and mm-hmm. just let him go during the tournament. I spoke to him the next day after his run had ended there, and the season was sort of over at that point, and until the Hawaii swing, and he, you know, we were laughing about it. I said, damn, you're dropping form there, dude. You just came fourth. And he's like, we were laughing about it because initially, you know, if we had said you're going to come fourth in a tournament this year, he would have, you know, taken that.
Exactly.
Amazing, yeah, you know, with all the glee in the world. But he felt not a letdown, but, you know, he knew he'd let one slip, but he was a little bit tired and
sure,
you know, the emotion of it all and what have you. But I'll tell you a great story about that. Is 3 yeah. days later, he sent me, my phone beeped, and I got a message from him, and he was sending me from his basement him working on the drills. He was just starting it all again. So even just coming first and fourth, he was back at it preparing for the new year.
So go ahead and just touch kind of quickly on the drills. We'll give people the info on where they can get them. I've had, I've watched your stuff, and I've had great success with some students in essentially giving them your drills as well. Go ahead and kind of touch on what these drills are, maybe the progression, and kind of the time frame that realistically students can achieve these improvements through these drills.
Well, there's 5 major drills that are basically the golf swing. Drill 1 is what I call the 430 path, and that teaches people where to enter impact from and how to release the club. And, you know, there's a lot of theories about impact. Obviously, impact's really important. And, you know, some people say, well, you release your hand. Some people say you just rotate your body. You know, there's all different versions of it. And the difficult thing about that is, you know, when you see things in motion, you see all types of things happening. So what this drill does is it really makes them become aware of how the arms release and how the wrists uncock and where the low point of the club hits. And and all that. So it's basically the first drill is training people to release the club more with their arms and void of their body, on obviously, for starters.
Yeah.
And then we lead into drill two, which is very much similar thing, but with the footwork and everything involved. And people have probably seen me talk about the down under board, where I get people to put a board between their feet and they train their muscles and their legs and feet to grip down and in, and rather than back out of it and jump up or slide and all that, they're part of building pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And those two things where you learn to stay down in impact and release quick with speed of the arms, and then support with the legs and driving with the legs, sets us up for the post-impact, which is drill three, and that's where the body overtakes. You know, a lot of people flip the club because their body's not strong enough to outrace the way they release, or they release too soon and their body's already done, things like that. So you learn the sequence, and for the most part, they're the main three. The mm-hmm. Once you get them working pretty good, there's a very good chance a lot of people start making a better backswing, downswing transition, and start to hit those three workings on the, you know, the way into impact and beyond. But drill four and five are basically the backswing and transition and downswing. If people haven't built themselves towards the ideal path, and
yeah,
and there is no ideal path, you know, it's for them. Every person's quite different how things are going to work. Some people have more arm rotation, some people have less shoulder turn, some people have a little bit of leg drive. There's all these different variables, but they try and train you to find what's suitable for you the best, based on what I believe all the best players, even myself, did when we played.
Yeah, and I love how they're all motion drills, and you kind of you give some clear understanding of what's supposed to happen, but essentially, like you said, with even Brendan, you've given him the tools to really be his own coach in some sense. Obviously, you can check in on him and give advice, but he's working on these drills to associate feels with them, to associate pressures with them, rather than being, you know, coached to swing a certain way or anything like that. I know you don't even talk a ton about grip or alignment, as once you kind of get the motion, you have some ways to describe on, you know, finding the best grip and finding the best way to align yourself to the target, which I think is fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Brad, for being on. What's the best way then for people to get in touch with your ebook, this drill series, and if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah, my website's bradleyhughesgolf.com, and you can find the gateway to everything on there. I have you know, my online lessons or personal lessons where I am in Greenville, South Carolina. It sends you, there's spots to take you to the ebook. There's spots to take you to my members site where I post all my new videos. I used to do a bunch of videos on YouTube, but now I put them on my members site so I can delve into a little bit more detail and give the paying people a better insight into a few things. So I try and cover all bases. We've got Skype, we've got the works, but, you know, my idea is to just give everyone the best chance they can to get better. Obviously, online and is not the most ideal thing. You probably learn more in person, but it's a head start, and ultimately a lot of those people end up enjoying it, getting better, and then they come and see me in the process anyway. So it's been fun. It's been a process, a lot of work. I'm a one-man show. I don't have anyone else helping me or doing everything. So anything you see out there, my name is me doing it. So it's hard work, but you got to work hard to get the results.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much again for your time, Brad. And I hope you have a great day and rest of the season, my friend.
Thank you, mate.
I highly recommend you check out Bradley's ebook and website. I love how he's essentially allowed you to become your own coach through his drills and other videos. As I've mentioned, I've used some of the drills with my students, and they've had a lot of success. Thanks so much again for your support of the Golf Better Podcast. We're in the heart of the teaching season down here in Tucson, so I haven't been able to get through our guest list as fast as I've wanted, but I will be continuing to put out podcasts when I can. It has been fun to have so many of our listeners down for lessons as well. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review on your podcast platform of choice. And with all of the coronavirus stuff going on out there, stay safe, my friends. Until next time.